Liars lie. When you think of notorious liars, who do you think of? Sometimes you think of lawyers. Sometimes in the South, lawyers dressed like this, right? Or carpetbaggers. Or, as several of you have pointed out, that I look like Colonel Sanders. He lied to a lot of chickens, Colonel Sanders did. But lawyers, if you, funny movie, Jim Carrey, it's humorous where he just can't lie. Also in economics, remember Charles Ponzi, Ponzi schemes, Bernie Madoff. Unfortunately, some of the things our government does border on Ponzi schemes. Politicians, of course, famously, President Nixon gets criticized for that. Dictators throughout history have lied to their people. And early form of photoshopping, here's Stalin and Nikolai Yatsev, who suddenly was just brushed out of the picture because history had changed. And when we talk about dictators, of course, more seriously, we think of good old Adolf Hitler. In fact, he used to practice his very dramatic speaking, and he had a magnetic and could mesmerize people. And of course, led the country to war with the Nazi salute. You got little chicken farmer Heinrich Himmler here and Goebbels. And so sometimes in our culture today, the moral equivalency of claiming somebody's a Hitler, I don't think we understand the history completely, how bad it was, and oh, that's ancient history. But it does affect people today, because even my dog has fallen prey to the Nazi salute. So lies can confuse a lot of people. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 12, because we are going to be looking at what God says about lying in the life of David, and the idea the truth of God's word protects from the deception and lies of this world. And Psalms are especially deal with wisdom literature, where God's covenant, God's law to the godly directly impacted by what God says, and that wisdom literature is being able to take God's knowledge and understanding and apply it to life. The word wisdom in Hebrew just means skillful living. And so Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so in David's life, this is a psalm of David to the chief musician on an 8-stringed harp, a psalm of David. And so the choir, the direct choir, director of music, in fact, Ken sang in this choir. And it talks about an 8-string instrument, perhaps a tune, but it has to do with corporate worship. And so David, on behalf of the nation, is giving what's called a community lament, a prayer for deliverance, trusting ultimately in God's promises. Like we sang, standing on the promises. Folks, this is real life for us as well. The church, the community. When we look at the world around us, and unfortunately sometimes within the church, what do we do? Well, as we go through the text, this outline once again is from a professor of mine, Dr. Willem van Gameren, wonderful guy on the Psalms. But the first four verses, please follow along. But the first four verses, deliver us from liars. Verse 4, help, or literally save, Yahweh, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? And so starts off with that community cry, his people, the community, being attacked. Help, where are the good people? You might think back with Abraham pleading with God, are there any righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah? Are there any righteous people? And as in this psalm, David is saying, and they are all liars, and described literally a double heart, deceiving from the heart. Which in ancient Near East thought, the idea of the seed of thought or commitment. Folks, we might say a double heart, hypocrisy. We see that obviously today. And then the idea of prevailing or triumphing with the tongue. Who is our master or Lord? The autonomy, the ego of human beings in standing in the face and shaking their fist at God. So are we surprised at this? Well, we shouldn't be. Because in Proverbs 26, for example, 23 through 29, fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. And like in our New Testament reading, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Well, as God's people, in our lives individually, sometimes we can feel alone or lied about. Now, lied about, sometimes we deserve what we get, and then we claim we're being persecuted. Well, being lied about. Remember Elijah, where he said in 1 Kings 19:10, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel. I have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Woe is me, they're lying about me. They're out to get me. And God says a few verses later, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every man that has not kissed him. So folks, we are not alone. God's covenant community, the church, God is taking care of us. And what is God's response? Well, verse 5, the promised deliverance. Look in your text. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighting of the needy, now I will arise, says Yahweh the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. And so God, I will arise. What's the answer? I will arise. In fact, in Isaiah 33, dealing with Assyria, now I will arise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up. And so the answer to verse 1, who, where, they're out to get us. God says, I will protect or set him in safety. And it's ultimately for God's glory. I will be exalted. I will lift myself up. I like that, folks. And in times of trouble, it's tough sometimes just at our level, but to remember that God is still on his throne. The great I am and I will. How do we know that? Well, look at verse 6. The truthful promises that God says, tied to his word. You shall keep them. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. God's word. Verses back up in verse 2, the lies. God's word is flawless, pure, refined seven times, a perfect number. No dross on God's word. Psalm 119, 140, your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Do you love God's word? Do you believe it is pure, flawless? Actually, it really doesn't matter what you believe because it is. But the promises, God's truth, in fact, incarnate, personified, as Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, for all the promises, God's promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes. And in him, amen, not amen, amen, which means so be it, let it be, to the glory of God through us. And so God's word, small w, the Bible, but more importantly, God's word, capital W, the word of God, Jesus Christ. And then so sort of the structure of this, back to delivering us from liars, look at verses 7 and 8. You shall keep them, and the way this is worded, us, keep us, O Lord. You shall preserve us from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. So the Lord keeps his people. That's reassuring. In the midst of life, in the midst of the lies of the world, with lawyers and politicians and people out to get the church and blaspheme God. God's special protection, his preservation, like we looked at last week, a refuge that is forever, it says. And from, as he says in verse 8, the current situation, I like the way the NIV says, now tell me if this doesn't describe the liars of the world. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. Can you just see the world strutting about, proud, because like the earlier, the who's master? Our words are, no one can overcome us with our pretty speech. Proverbs 30, verses 11 to 14. There is a generation today, probably churches throughout the last 2,000 years said this generation, but there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. The idea of words, our mouths, being used as weapons to oppress the poor people and God's people. So how long? How long is this going to last? This evil, where we can take confidence, ultimately, that is all under the sovereignty of God. And so the idea of that long term that gives us hope, because when we look around our world, the idea of fine speech, rhetoric, in fact, the word used, flattery, literally to make smooth. We might use the term, or we have the term, he's a smooth talker. Here, chicken, chicken, chickens, come into my pot, says Colonel Sanders. But the idea of manipulation, the idea, once again, of using words to control people. In fact, you know, Colonel Adams is up here, and you might think of a way to say, you know, Colonel Adams, not only are you a handsome man, you are a powerful man as well. That didn't manipulate him too well. But a little history there, because back in the Greek philosophy, what were known as the sophists, we get our word sophistry, sophomoric, where the idea of rhetoric, using words to get what you want, to lead the people, democracy, rule by the people. If you can convince the people and smooth talk them, to manipulate them, to vote for what you want, this was one of the problems of pure democracy in ancient Greece. So, of course, then Republic with Rome, we've talked about that, but you can see the danger of using words like that to manipulate. And they were known, the sophists, were known for cynicism and skepticism. And into that morass stepped good old Socrates, who would point it out, as one theologian says, the crass politicization, making everything political, politicization of education, economics, law, and public works. I'm glad that only happened back then and not today. Which came about with a commensurate decline in substantive thinking and civic virtue. Imagine that. The idea of just sort of slogans and pretty speech as opposed to actually doing what's right. Well, what about today? Folks, ultimately, spiritual warfare, God's word points this out, but the manipulation, the little white lies, some of you heard in law, you know, you think of the loopholes of lawyers, selective evidence that's used, the fine print. How many of you read the fine print when it comes? Ways to manipulate. In politics, politicians wanting to buy votes. In fact, I fell prey to this when I was in Anaconda, Montana, back in the 60s. In my little elementary school, we had an election for class officers and class president. And one president promised to put Coke in every water fountain. He got my vote. The liar. In fact, he might be the governor now. No. The politician, we make fun of it, but unfortunately, using words and lies to control advertisement, new and improved, Or, here's one I like, serving sizes. Why, there's only 10 calories in this serving. And then you read the rest of it. Oh, but one teaspoon is 100 servings. So you got to eat 100 servings. So you ended up actually with a lot more. And then unfortunately, preachers, we can fall prey to this with, if you hear a Scottish accent and we, the glory of God, it just sounds correct. Well, we preachers can put on affected, you know, let us pray. Manipulation and selective evidence when it comes to theology. We call that proof texting. Not taking God's word the way he intended it, but selectively picking out verses to make the Bible say what we want. So fine speech, flattering, smooth talking, folks, it's all around us. Versus God's flawless word, which is effective. You all know Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, says God, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word, the power, creation, let there be light. God created. His word is effective. And in fact, that light in our own lives, 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that God's flawless, pure word is effective and accomplishes what he wants? But it's also transparent. The idea of slander and flattering lips and deception and hypocrisy. God's word is transparent in the sense that God says what he means and does what he says. Folks, that's integrity. That's what the world, what we as humans unfortunately lack. We call it sin. But God is a God of integrity and his word. So, Hitler, as a great liar, well, more seriously even than that, was the first lie. Genesis 3, Satan, the serpent, the father of lies, has God indeed said, you will not surely die. You will be like God. And led to original sin, if you will, fallen humanity that starts with a lie. So the truth of God's word protects from the deception and lies of the world. Transformation of God's word so that we are not conformed to this world. And so now as we move into communion, the Lord's Supper, the promises and truth of the word, capital W, Jesus, small w, the Bible, having to do with the new covenant, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 3:15, where the seed of the woman, ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ, will crush the seed of the serpent, that father of lies. So the war has been won in all of this when it comes to what are we going to do about liars? Because God's truthful, transparent, and a truthful and integral relationship with God because of his word, like we read in Romans, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God's word, flawless, pure, versus the lies of the world.